The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a podcast series that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all of the great things that happen here each day. And welcome to Up on Taconic. I am Mr. Chiquette, and I am excited to be joined today by some great people for what is actually part two of a longer chat that we had this week about reading at Taconic. And joining us is Ms. Willis, a reading specialist at Taconic High School, and Zoli, a 10th grader, as well as Brody, a 9th grader, both at Taconic. And today we pick up where we left off last time. All right, and we are back up up on Taconic, and we're talking with Zoli, Brody, and Ms. Willis about just the great things happening with reading in our building, just some of our, you know, we're kind of getting to this question here where I want to ask you about your favorite book or story, but we're already kind of like knee-deep into it, aren't we? We're kind of really talking about a lot of titles already. Mm-hmm. But Zoli, let's make it a little more official here, and let's talk to you first about what is your favorite book or your favorite story.
Okay. I don't have one favorite in particular. I have like a collection of books that I keep very close to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are ones that were on my mother's massive bookshelf of stories that she pointed out as something that I might like because we share a lot of the same interests.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the most important ones to me are The We Free Men by Terry Pratchett, A Wrinkle in Time by Madeleine L'Engle, and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, which I finished recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And not to sound like too pretentious, but something I read last year of my own free will, my own volition, was The Odyssey. Because,
really?
Yeah,
wow.
I really love Greek mythology, and
that
Odysseus
is
just... He's my favorite little war criminal.
Yeah,
I don't know the Odyssey.
Really?
How is it a big book? Is it?
It's not particularly big. Like it was big, but it's very dense because it's from ancient Greece. It's a
and
very
it's gonna
old
be such
book.
A challenge. Just the language, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a poem, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah,
even
it's a poem.
Written down.
Poem
for
by
long.
Homer.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
Homer.
Yep.
Wow. That's congratulations. That is phenomenal.
It's crazy
that's
to
really
think
great.
How like. Most of the stuff that we know about the past, it's just stuff that was written down. The reading is all around us all the time.
Yep.
All the time.
Absolutely. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ms. Willis, let's jump over to you.
Last year I read a biography about Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. Mm-hmm. That was so good, it made me fall in love again with the composer.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
It made me love him even more. Why? Because it was written by a musician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's called Mozart, The Reign of Love, and I highly recommend it. Oh,
that's
gosh.
A beautiful. That's a beautiful title.
The Reign of Love.
The Reign of Love. What a. That's
On the Road is a favorite. Like you, Zoli, I was raised on my mother's bookshelf, not my father's. My father was the read aloud person, but it was my mother's bookshelf that I was raised on.
Mm-hmm.
On the Road by Jack Kerouac,
yeah.
The Edie Sedgwick biography, Martin Amis's Money, Toni Morrison's Beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Moby Dick, written down the street, right?
Yep.
Joyce Carol Oates, Blonde, that Joyce Carol Oates wrote about Marilyn Monroe. This was about 20 years ago. Shelby Foote's Civil War trilogy. These are all cornerstones in my life, if not the bedrock on which I sit.
And you can hear, just in the way you're talking about it, clearly these are life-changing things for you, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like Brody said, what we know about history, what I know about myself, I learned through writing, through my writing,
mm-hmm.
or through the writing of others.
Yeah.
Yep.
One quick thing about Moby Dick too is that I had challenged myself a couple of years ago to read it just for, you know, I got up in the morning and this is the book I'm going to read, and I got through it and I said to myself, I'm local. I was born in North Adams and lived in Berkshires my entire life, but I'd never been. To Arrowhead, and I really, really wanted to go, but I wanted to finish the book first, so I did. And then since then, I've been back a bunch of times. The last time I actually did a writing workshop And I got to write in the room that Moby Dick was written in, with with the view of Greylock, you know, with snow-covered Greylock, I think, in the way he sort of experienced it as a white whale and everything. And it was just so, you know, again, powerful, just so powerful to say you're sitting within, you know, right where he's at,
that
looking out
that
window.
That is an amazing experience.
Yeah, and if you haven't been there, go, because you can go to that room and you can look out that window and see the same view. It really is an amazing experience.
I've seen the house. Been in the house, though. Yeah.
I've seen it, but I haven't been in it.
I've been all around that area. Every year my parents like to take me up, but we haven't been to Greylock very much anymore, because it kind of just, after a while, it gets a little boring. You know, there's not much to do up there.
Yeah. Wait,
I think the last time I went there seriously was actually for a wedding.
Oh, really?
It was
awesome. Yeah, they have a lot up there. Barney, why don't you keep going and tell us a little bit about your favorite book?
Okay, so I don't, like with Zoli, I don't think I have one specific favorite. I think out of the two that I'm going to talk about, I feel like I could definitely give a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe actually, I don't know. I'm not certain. But, usually when reading comes easiest to me, it's about something that I'm already passionate about.
Right, like me and Greek mythology.
Right. Or an example, I love the band Queen. And if I've read a biography about them, everybody in there, Roger, Brian, Freddie, John, I would like just love to read something about that.
Yeah.
Because I always like watching interviews, learning a lot more about them.
Yeah, sure.
But when it came to the first book that I really enjoyed a lot, that was on my own, it's Lillian Duncan. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Lillian Duncan.
No.
It's about a transgender student and this boy who kind of helps her out. You know, he finds her dresses that she likes,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of stuff like that. And in the end, they're very happy. But the kid is also going through his, Duncan is his name. He's also going through his own hard times with mental loss. He lost his friend, and he's having a lot of PTSD. Also, like flashbacks. One time, in the very end, he had to go to a hospital because he was at one of his basketball games, and he saw his friend there, and he told him to get onto the court. So now he's on the court. Nobody else told him to go onto the court,
mm-hmm.
and he's just sitting there like he was supposed to be there. And, you know, it obviously jolted everybody. And in the end, they both kind of figure themselves out. And it's a very happy ending. And I love the book. I really recommend it. It's the first book about anything like that I really got into.
That sounds great.
Thank you.
Powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in seventh grade, like I said before, I read It.
Mm-hmm.
And just reading that really just sparked what first got me into, like, reading a ton. So out of the two, I'd say the easiest to read again and the most fun that I would read again is probably Lillian Duncan. So that would have to probably be my favorite. But It is also awesome. I think I've attempted to read that again, and I kind of got out of it. But I totally would if I was given the time.
You'll have to try some more other Stephen King books, too, when you get a chance, right?
Right, The Shining. I should probably finish Dr. Sleep.
Yeah. Well, when we're done today, I'll give you a couple of the ones that I've read from Stephen King that I really love, and maybe give you a couple good suggestions.
Or
from
the one about the car. I forget what that one's called. You know,
Christine.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Love Christine. Love. I love the movie. I haven't read the book, but I've seen.
That's great.
The movie.
Well, thank you for that. And you know, the thing is, like, this is the conversation, right? Like, when you get kind of book people together, right?
Yep.
This is it's amazing. I went up to Manchester last Sunday, I think, to see Kristen Hanna, who wrote The Nightingale, which is this really powerful French Resistance World War II book, and now is The Four Winds is this new book that she just released. So to go and see authors and hear Joe Donahue from WAMC was actually talking to her, and was just being in a room with 400 other people who are just before the talk, were just talking about their favorite books, and you could tell, like, it was almost hard to calm them down because just all these bookworms were just all in the same room at the same time. So I mean, these are just wonderful conversations.
I find that to be very relatable at the moment.
We get wild about books. Here. Yeah. We get wild.
Yeah,
we are
absolutely.
Very much so such nerds.
Yeah. So, and it's really great to hear these personal experiences with these books. So, you know, I think kind of in a world of constant distraction, it can be really difficult to just simply find like just a comfortable chair, you know, something, you know, warm beverage, and just kind of tune out, you know, put your device away and tune out the world for a bit and read. So, you know, starting just with Ms. Willis, do you find lately that it is easier or harder to focus on reading? And in your opinion, why?
It is so difficult to focus on reading now. And I'm speaking personally
for myself.
We've
already kind of had this conversation a little bit in the beginning.
Oh, well, I have to keep examining this every single day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember life before 5G, right? Yeah. I remember life before Snap, Instagram. I remember life before that,
Twitter,
before
TikTok,
Facebook. I remember life before AOL, okay?
Yeah.
And I feel that in many ways, these platforms have all but hijacked my brain completely.
Sure, yeah.
And I use that term specifically, hijacked. Like, it's been taken over by the petty pace of the day-to-day, if you will, on these social media platforms.
Yeah.
That I'm going to cop to it, that I've become addicted to. Mm-hmm. In the past 20 years.
Yeah, sure.
So I have to fight, and this is for a normally socialized adult, a reading nerd, if you will. I have to fight to get back on track to read more because we are so distracted. I should speak for myself because I'm so distracted.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you speak for a lot of people, though, when you say that. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Brody, how about you?
I think I agree with Ms. Willis quite a bit. With the fact that it is very hard to get out of the distraction of social media, but that's also the thing that I feel like we can touch on, that it is kind of like how books were the norm back, that give us the history of today. I feel like, you know, you can also think of it as social media being kind of what will give people the history of today in the future.
I'm scared about that a little bit, actually.
A little bit, yeah.
Because we were talking about that, I think you and I were talking about that the other day. What are our primary news sources now? What are we using?
Yeah.
Are we using this
my
news
grandpa.
Media? Right, and you said my grandpa's my primary news source.
Because he watches the news all the time, every day.
And then it filters through grandpa, and then filters to you.
Right.
And then filters
so
to my friends, and then filters to social media.
Yeah.
And you never know what thing. It's like a game of telephone. You never know what's going to be added in.
Exactly.
Or taken out.
And now I'm scared that a majority of people are getting their news from TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I find it a lot harder to read now because not just that, just distractions from home life, school life, going outside a lot, you know, just like being me, you know, by itself. I feel like once the summer comes, it'll be a lot easier to read because I won't have so much going on. But when I'm outside doing a lot, you know, and there's not always somebody like a teacher there. You know, I say it's kind of annoying when a teacher does like always bring up this book and you have to read this book too. But like it's also good to have them as a motivation or just someone to talk to and be like, look, I read this. And then they're like, wow, epic. You know?
There's a reason why teachers ask us to read. Mm-hmm. And that's because they want us to get the information out of the book and into our brains.
Of course.
And in a more direct way too, like you said, it's so easy to find the filters of the filters and just as eventually, and especially that because you can find the information that you want that serves your, you know, and I'm rewatching the show actually, Succession. I don't know if anybody watches it, but last night the episode we saw talked about us being in the post-information age. And it really is true when you think about, you know, just the way we're taking in information, that we're not reading, we're not digesting, here we are talking about books, but in a general way, we're not digesting books, taking it all in and processing it and forming our own opinions about it. We're getting little tiny snippets, mostly from social media and things like that, and or articles that are really have a lot of bias one way or the other, or, you know, sometimes from a relative or whatever it might be. And we really aren't living in sort of this pure information age that we could have. You know, the dawn of the internet could have brought us there, but it really kind of brought us in another direction, I think, on some level. So, Zoli, let's have you add a little bit into the conversation.
Well, I don't have a lot of social media. I do have some of it. And the way I kind of interact with, like, news that comes across on social media, the places that do bring up, like, news-type things, they always have links to their sources. So I try to follow things like that for any news-related thing on social media. The thing that makes it hardest to focus on reading was the pandemic.
Yeah.
The state of my mental health declined, and I lost my ability to concentrate, even on technology. You know, I would open my phone and just there, I would feel like there was nothing to do, not even social media, nothing. In the aftermath, I feel like I'm slowly gaining the ability to focus more and more, and I have been enjoying reading even more as like an effect of that. You know, you don't truly appreciate things until they're gone, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I think I agree that the pandemic really, really changed things. And you know, as we start to come out of the cocoon of, you know, of emerging from it and stuff, I hope that we're all finding a way to get to a better place. And, you know, it affected everything, not just reading, yeah. but everything in our lives, right? And, yeah. And you know, in some ways, for some people, it might have been, okay, like more isolation meant more time to read. But in other ways, it just completely had the opposite effect and yeah. just tough psychological effects on that and probably a lot of trauma that we're all kind of going, you know, coming back to. And as we get back into rooms full of people again, finally after these years, we really, you know, just that isolation really changed us all, just as a people too, not just as individuals too, but yeah. as a community. So thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. We will be right back. And we are back at Up on Taconic with reading specialist Ms. Willis and two great Taconic students, Brody and Zoli. And we've been talking about the importance of reading. Let's kind of sideline a little bit here. And just if we can kind of start with Brody, tell us a little bit more just about you. What gets you excited about, you know, being in school, helping others with reading, just things like that?
I think all of it comes from really if somebody starts off no knowledge, clean slate about something that I really like, I feel that is what gets me excited to teach somebody, because then I can start from the very beginning, like back when I was saying about the band Queen.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I love them, and I've listened to all their songs. I know every band member. I know all their stories, and I could go on simply for hours and hours explaining that to people. I could explain writing, what got me into writing, to people for hours upon hours upon hours. And I wish we had the time for that on here, but we do not. So that really is just what really puts the pep in my step for teaching people about anything, really, yeah. just a clean slate.
Yeah. All right. Great. Thank you. Zoli, how about you?
Yeah, and I get that. Like, when you were wondering about the Odyssey, I had to physically restrain myself from just bursting into the entire story,
yeah,
going
yeah.
into all the characters, all the main ones at least. There are a lot of named characters.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I'm not good with names.
great, Ms. Willis.
Reading's a refuge. I don't want to think of it as a place to hide, but I've often buried myself in a book. I'm just excited to hear students talk about wanting to teach people
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
There's nothing more instructive in some ways if I said to you, Brody, teach me how to do something. Teach me about your favorite Queen song. Then I think
okay.
that's so exciting to me because you are teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You are, and we learn how
everybody's a teacher.
Yes.
Yeah. And we yes. learn by teaching. Right, yeah. I think that's a huge takeaway from this too, is that we learn.
Even teaching can teach.
Yeah. Yep. Even teach. Truer words never spoken.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
But I've always loved reading, and I love sharing my joy with reading, and knowing that not everybody shares my zest for reading.
Zest,
indeed, zesty. And I remember my senior year, I didn't read anything. And I was in an honors English class. I didn't read anything except heavy metal song lyrics.
Nice. Any particular band you liked?
Oh no! Now I'll be dating myself.
Oh, come on, give us one.
Okay, so I'll just say that I went through a major metal phase, and actually, it's still going on right now as we speak.
So, like System of a Down, anything like that?
No, I'm older than that.
Oh great!
But then
I
had the great good fortune to sit down with the guys in Motley Crue a few years later,
really,
and interview them,
really,
and talk about what music means to all of us.
Tommy Lee and
Nikki, Tommy, Mick, Vince. I used to live in New York City, where I worked as a music journalist.
If I got a day to sit down with Roger Taylor or Brian May from Queen,
I know what an
I
honor.
Would.
Oh but not God. John Deacon. He's the boring one, right?
Well, he's out. He's out. I don't think he would want to sit down with a fan anyway.
Yeah, he seems a little more reclusive.
Yeah, he is way out of the band. I think they've offered him a couple times to come back, but. No,
I didn't even know John Deacon's out of the band.
Oh, he has been since Freddie died. When Freddie died, he did two more shows. One was a charity show, and one was I think just another charity show. I think he did two charity shows, and then he I watched an interview about it. His exact words were, "I can't do this anymore," and he didn't.
Did you know that all the members of Queen? This is rare. Are all the members of Queen were college graduates?
Yep.
Brian May has his doctorate, right? He's an astrophysicist.
Yeah, he's an astrophysicist.
Yeah. Whoa.
Roger is a dentist. He got his, in that. I forget what John does. I think electrician.
No, really?
Yeah. And then Freddie was in design, fashion.
Wow. I think we moved over.
Miss Willis would know
about being a Queen Motley Crue podcast.
We're steering this over towards the rock. But
we should definitely have a music podcast because we could go on for days.
So here's the thing is that writing and music naturally go together and loving reading and writing.
You have to write
your
music.
Yes. Loving reading and writing can take you places.
Mm-hmm.
Because of love of reading and writing and rock and roll, I got to interview all my heroes and share ideas with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get to share ideas with you.
Yeah. Calling the members of Queen my heroes would be a major understatement.
That's wonderful. And, I think that's another part is too, just lyrics and poetry and music. I mean, that was, for me, I was a music major in college and went on to be, a rock musician who wrote many albums and stuff. And I remember the first proud moment I had of writing came after reading Catcher in the Rye. And I wrote a song called Phoebe, and it was actually about Holden Caulfield's sister. And I tried to write a song from her point of view, just even though she was kind of a minor character, just to see if I can kind of like bring those thoughts out. And it was a really cool experience. And from there, I kind of did what a lot of songwriters do, is just kind of put yourself in like a character's mind and see what can kind of come out of it without putting your own personal things into it. And that's always been a thing, it's just to be able to, because I think reading eventually elicits writing too. Right? I mean, like eventually you read enough where you go, maybe I could do this, and then you start writing. So, hopefully that's something out of all of this too, as we sort of get to the final question here of just talking, just kind of asking all of you sort of one final question here, which is, what is one thing that you want parents and students and the general public to know about the importance of reading and literacy? Ms. Willis, how about you?
We have to find time outside of school to read. Mm-hmm. To read alone. To read with family, friends, whoever. Because I'm here to tell you right now that the situation is dire, people. We are in a literacy crisis in this country. Brody, you said earlier that reading is everywhere all the time, but the reality is that it seems that access to reading is shrinking, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. So the NEA, the National Endowment, released a report in 2015 that showed that literary reading, we'll call it, literature, has declined significantly over the past 20 years. 56% of Americans in 1992 had read at least one piece of literature in the previous year, but by 2014, that number has fallen to now 46%. So I want you just to imagine that trend, what could be happening there. So it's reported by the NEA that literary reading is more common among older adults than younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
By 2014, 53% of adults age 65 and older reported reading literature, compared with just 36% of adults between 18 and 24.
Wow, yeah.
So it faces extinction. If this trend continues, where are we headed, right? With reading, with literary reading. reading for pleasure. The time teens are reading is shrinking. The Bureau of Labor reported that 15 and older spent 7 minutes a day in 2017 reading. Wow. 7 minutes a day. Down from 9 minutes in 2014. So I'm not clear on where those 7 minutes are coming from, whether that's just doom scrolling or the reading the hashtags on our various, on social media. But I ask you this, if we're at 7 minutes average now, I know your eyes are widening because it's scary, 7 minutes. What's going to happen in 5 years? Is it going to be at 3 minutes?
Wow, yeah.
2 minutes?
Yep.
So if you can't read or you won't read, for whatever reason, you're on the sidelines. Sometimes people don't even know that they're on the sidelines. And if you don't read the fine print or you can't, somebody who does is going to make use of you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't want to sound like I'm trying to be scary here.
Dramatic, maybe.
Well, that's really hard for me not to be, as I've always been.
Your outfit screams that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
very theater.
But reading matters. Reading matters, and if we don't do it, we lose. Well, it's of course to us, but mm-hmm. but people are out there that can't or won't,
mm-hmm.
and it's up to us to fix that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. A colleague of mine said in class yesterday, you were there, that the more words you know, the more money you make.
Mm-hmm. I was early.
Let's just say it again. Yeah, that's right. The more words you know, the more money you make. Words are information. They are currency. Yeah.
Because words swayed you. Words, like, no matter what, you could always use words to get yourself into something, out of something, somewhere, somehow.
Boom.
Any, like, you're using words all the time, no matter what. And music, talking right now, and reading is a big part of learning those words. And also, like, imagine an interview for a job. That's how you make money. And if you can really just use persuading words mm-hmm. or big words, make yourself sound smarter, you will always, it'll leave a mark on that person's brain. Not cancer, but a good mark.
A good mark, yeah.
Yes, you can change outcomes with words. Words change things.
Mm-hmm.
They persuade, they dissuade. Just what you said, precisely. They are so powerful. If you don't have the words,
mm-hmm.
what do you got?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
You can't express yourself.
You can't.
That's right.
Don't you?
Okay.
Wow. Thank you, Ms. Willis.
I fell into that one.
Thank you so much for that. I mean, that is so much powerful data and such a powerful statement that you made. And
7 minutes, people. Seven yeah. minutes a day, that's it?
Yep.
That's all they're getting?
Yikes.
It is scary. It is absolutely scary. And, you know, and hopefully a little bit about the conversation that we're having here today. Hopefully a few people will hear this and maybe, you know, whether it's encouraging themselves to be more proactive with reading or whether it's encouraging more people in their family or if they're a parent, to have their kids be more active with it. I think it's just important to just keep throwing that message out there over and over and over again until we can try to raise those stats up to in the yep. right direction. So thank you so much for that. And I want to thank all of you for just taking this time to come in today with just such a rich conversation that we've had just to talk about it. And I know that all of you just put a lot of time into thinking and prepping for this conversation. And I want to thank you for that as well. So Ms. Willis, Brody, and Zoli, thank you again for joining me today in the deep discussion. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Shoket.
Absolutely, Shoket. Absolutely. And you know, we tackled a tough subject of reading yeah. and where it's going. And I think there was just some really great answers to ponder. And I really hope that your words will inspire others to get out there and start reading as a daily practice. Yeah. I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in this week, whether it be on radio or podcast. And if you have any questions for us at Up on Taconic, feel free to email us at taconictv@pittsfield.net. Thank you again for joining us. We'll see you next time on Up on Taconic. Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced at the Taconic Studios in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and this week featured students from Taconic High School and reading specialist Ms. Willis. The show was produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting equipment and taped in April of 2023.